TLS is go for auto sequence start.
Initiated started sequence.
Onboard computers are now transitioning into the terminal countdown configuration.
Welcome to Throttle Up.
3, 2, 1, 0. Booster ignition and liftoff.
It's time for all of us to get throttled up.
Roger, go on throttle up.
Hello and welcome to today's Throttled Up podcast. I am your host, Pastor Jeff Grillo. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hopefully you found us on iTunes, and if you have, a special welcome to you. If you would like to get all of the podcasts, hopefully they're available there on iTunes. If not, you can always find them at my website, jeffgrillo.com. That's JeffGrillo.com. Today's podcast is titled simply, Who Do You Think You Are? That's a great one. I'll tell you what, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that when I was a kid growing up, hey, mister, who do you think you are? Wow. I would probably have a lot of dollar bills laying around today. But you know what? It's a great question. Even when it's not intended to necessarily provoke thought, it really should. Here's why. Who you think you are matters. Why does it matter? Well, you ever hear of the term psychosomatic? It comes from the two Greek words, psycho, referring, of course, to the mind, and somatic, of the root soma, which refers to the body. It's mind over body, psychosomatic. And a psychosomatic illness, you know, you start thinking long enough about a disease or a cold or just bad feelings, then guess what? They no longer remain thoughts, but they actually start to manifest themselves in your body. And that's what we're talking about. This is why who you think you are actually matters. Because if you think about something long enough, you will eventually become. Now, this is going to sound new agey for a minute here, but I want you to hang with me, and you're going to see where I'm going. It's quite biblically sound, actually. You know, Oprah Winfrey and the New Age movement, and you know, authors of books like The Secret. They want to make it like it's a secret. It's some hidden treasure that only the elite know, and those who follow their ways can obtain. But the crazy thing is that, you know, the enemy, the way he deceives, if he comes out with an outright lie, I think most people can tell a lie. But what he does that's so clever is that he takes truth, and just enough truth sometimes, and puts his lie packaged nicely in the truth, and it makes it so much easier for people to swallow. And that's what he's done with this, and of course, you know, so many other parts of the Word of God, is simply what the New Agers do, is they just remove God, they remove Yeshua, they remove Jesus from the equation. They don't talk about God, they don't talk about his Word, but take the principles of his Word and try to draw people into some sort of self-righteous, self-holy kind of mumbo jumbo. But I'm going to show you where it comes from. If you're not aware that this whole thought pattern comes from what the Bible calls the wisest man who ever lived, and none that came after him would ever be as wise, King Solomon. And he writes in Proverbs, in the 23rd chapter, verse 7, it says that whatsoever a man think in his heart, so is he. Now, the Hebrew word for heart actually would be better translated, or should be better translated, not as the word heart, not the thing beating in your chest, but the heart of your being, the heart of who you are, in other words, your mind. Whatever a man thinks in his mind, so is he. Well, what is that? What are you telling me here, Jeff? So very simple. Whatever you focus on, whatever has your attention in life, and you dwell on it, you eventually are going to receive that which you're focused on. I'm not leading into some get-rich-quick or prosperity or strange thing. I'm just trying to let you understand that what you think about you and who you think you are matters. You know, I spent a good part of my life, and I'm not real proud of this, other than the fact that Jesus helped me to overcome it. And now I'm able to tell you, not from, you know, hearsay, but from, hey, I've lived this. For a good part of my life, I thought I was trash. I thought I was a loser, you know, because of my handicap, because of the blindness and the financial, you know, six-figure devastation that I had gone through because I didn't have health insurance when I went through cancer when I was 21, and the divorce that came after, and all the things that I've been through. It was hard for me to see that I could ever rise above that. It was so hard for me to see that there was a life out there for me that was different than what I had always been accustomed to, and that was failure and struggle and frustration and torment. And I could go on and on with the, you know, with the horrible descriptions of the way it was. And I'm not trying to whine and complain. Oh, no. I rejoice with who I've become. But I'm just telling you that I understand. I get it. And for a long time, I became that loser that I so didn't want to be. Why? Because I'm lazy, because I'm stupid, because I'm uneducated, because. No, because it had my focus. Failure had my focus. I had no choice but to manifest in my life failure. All right, here's another example. When I spoke about the cancer a minute ago, and if you haven't heard the first in this series, the Throttle Up podcast, go get episode one. That's called An Appointed Time. You really need to hear that if you haven't heard it. But the whole cancer thing really illuminated and enlightened me as to just how messed up our Christian brothers and sisters can be. And I say that in love. Because here's what I mean. When I got the diagnosis of cancer, I had obviously freaked out and was upset and confided in friends and you know, people that were close to me what the diagnosis was and what I was going through. And what the doctors were recommending was surgery and then chemotherapy. And it seemed like people were kind of okay for the most part with the surgery part. But when it came time for me to start taking chemotherapy, I was scared. I'm not going to lie or sugarcoat it. I was terrified. I knew the Lord was technically a student at Bible college, although I had taken a semester off. I knew the Lord. I knew what was right. I understood faith. But when the rubber hit the road, at that point in my life, I confess, I was gripped with fear. I wasn't living and walking out 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, you know, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I knew it, but wasn't walking it at that moment. And some really well-meaning Christian people in my life actually began to tell me things like, hey, man, don't go taking that chemotherapy. Well, why? Dude, where's your faith? Trust God. Why are you going to take chemotherapy? You know that's just toxic stuff. Those are just poisons that they're going to put in your body to try to make you well. It's going to kill you. And I'll tell you what killed me was the torment and the guilt that these well-meaning people put on me, and the condemnation and the fear and the frustration that just was just magnified by, oh my gosh, really? What am I to do? And then finally, thank the Lord, I sought the counsel, not of the ungodly, but of the godly. I went and spoke to one of the pastors at the church I was attending, and thank you, Yeshua, thank you, Jesus, that he spoke some sense into me. He said, hey, listen, God gave us doctors, He gave us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if your oncologist is telling you that this can fix it, then pray to Jesus for a miraculous healing. But go forward. It would be foolish to not seek treatment. So I did, and I went to the treatment, and I remember there was a time, you know, sitting there with the IVs of these chemicals. I'll never forget the name of these drugs. Vepicid, bleomycin, platinol, cisplatin. I mean, these names are forever burned into my memory. These things that were just pumped into me day after day, week after week. But I remembered the principle that I had learned at some time in my past, and laying there in a hospital bed, two things, not only the scripture, Proverbs 23:7, but I remembered being a little kid, maybe in middle school somewhere, and playing basketball. I was on the Angels, was the name of the team at a Catholic school, middle school that I had attended. And I remember the coach saying that before you make the shot, you have to visualize it going in. You've got to see yourself making the shot. And it made an impact on me as a kid. And then later when I realized that it's based in biblical principle, that I began to visualize. And I was certainly not then nor now. Was I or am I a medical professional? I have no idea exactly what a cancer cell looks like. But I had a basic concept. It was explained to me, well, the body is designed with symmetry and perfection and beauty. Cells that are healthy have nice. They just look nice and symmetrical and orderly. But cancer is ugly and not right, and just all different shapes, and not just no symmetry or order to it. So in my mind, I would close my eyes, and you know, in between actual prayer time, I would just see these chemicals going into my veins, and I would literally see it seeking out unhealthy cells, cells that were deformed and ugly, and killing them on contact. And avoiding the healthy ones, leaving them alone, leaving the pretty cells alone. And you know what? I can't sit here and say with 100% certainty that the reason that I beat the odds, you know, the cancer I had, just I had two forms of malignancy, and one alone had a 90% kill rate. And I can't say that I beat those odds simply because of the thought pattern and the visualization that I had. But I can tell you that it was part of God's plan. It was part medical professional knowledge that God had allowed man to learn. It was part faith. It was part prayer. It was part, and a bit, you know, visualization. And it was part, and the biggest part of all, the stripes on our Savior's back. But you got to understand that what you think matters. Who you think you are matters. You know, you fast forward to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8. There's an example of thought patterns mattering to Yeshua. The story of the centurion, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Again, it's Matthew chapter 8. Go read it. But basically, the story goes like this. The centurion had come to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant is sick with the palsy, and he's terribly tormented with it. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, No. I am not worthy that you enter under my roof. Apparently, I am recording this podcast a little too early in the morning. But he said that I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled at that It actually uses the word he marveled. And he shared with his followers that were there that I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. That was something special to God, that this centurion got it. He knew who Jesus was. He believed it. He knew in his heart. He knew in his mind. He was persuaded. There wasn't any doubt. Just say the word and it's done. You don't have to go. You don't have to lay hands on him. You don't have to say a fancy prayer. Just say the word. And what did Jesus reply to him? He said, go your way. For such as you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. And the servant was made whole that very same hour. Hallelujah. That is awesome. You know what? You have the power to change your life. It's not New Age, crystal gazing, you know, star charting weirdness. It's Bible principle. The Father had a thought to create the universe and to create this little planet called Earth. He thought it. He spoke it. And it came to be. You've got to understand, we're not God, but we're created in his image. We're in his likeness, not his equalness, his likeness. If God creates by having a thought and then speaking the thing, then you and I can create our reality by focusing on a thought, believing it, being persuaded by it, and speaking it. We can see it come to pass. Now, I'm not suggesting you sit there and, you know, don't focus on money. Don't focus on things that could mess you up. You know, going back to Proverbs 23, 17 and 18, focus on that. It tells us to not be envious of the wicked and their riches, all right? Don't envy them because, you know, it's so easy to look at the people in this world that are wicked. They don't serve the Lord and they have so much. Don't envy that. Don't envy that. It says, but to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. God's not saying walk around and tremble in fear and be scared. No, he's talking about being in reverence, being mindful of his presence, being mindful of who he is. And what he has, his plan, he has a plan for you. Be mindful of him. Keep his word in your mouth all the day. Speak it. Dwell upon it. Commune with the Father. Have relationship with him. And you know what? In 18, it says that there will come an end, but your expectations shall not fail. What's expectation? Think about it. If I have a thought and I'm focused on being sick, oh, I'm worried about my family history of cancer, or, you know, me personally, you know, there's a family history there, but I've had it. I could focus on cancer. Oh, what if it comes back? What if I have something else? What if all those toxins they put in my body did some damage? And what if my life expectation or expectancy is cut short? I could focus on that, and guess what? I probably won't make it to see a long retirement if the Lord should tarry. Mm-mm, not at all. But I tell you the truth. If I focus on, you know what? There may be a family history of cancer, and I may have had cancer, and I may have had these terrible things go through my body that may have caused damage in some. But if I choose to focus on Isaiah 53, by his stripes, we are healed. I am healed. It doesn't matter what my genealogy is. It doesn't matter what my DNA says. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, but only what the word says about me. And if I hold on to that and I focus on it and I believe it and I speak health over me based on the outflow of the inner belief, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm not going to be blind anymore. I believe I can see. Doesn't matter that I look in the mirror this morning and I couldn't see anybody looking back at me. It doesn't matter. Because I believe the word of God is true. And there will come a day, there is that appointed time. Again, go back to the last podcast. What you think matters. Today, I think about who do I think I am. And the best thing I have ever done was stop thinking about what I used to think about me and replaced it with what God says about me. Today, I believe I am above and not beneath. I believe I am the head and not the tail. I believe I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I believe that I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I believe I am joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm grafted into the vine. I'm part of the family. I wasn't born a Jew. I wasn't born in the lineage of David. But praise God, through a decision that I made to receive Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, because of that decision, I'm adopted into the family. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a legal document in the throne room of the living God that tells me that I belong to him. Man, that is great. I'll tell you what else I believe. If God is for me, who can be against me? I believe his word when it says that everything I put my hand to shall prosper. I believe I am called and chosen. I believe there is purpose for my life to preach the good news, the gospel, to heal the sick, to reach the lost and show them the way home, to preach the gospel to all the world in the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. It's all there. It's in God's word. You've got to read it. You've got to get it into you. What was it, a Gatorade commercial? Is it in you? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Gatorade. I just remember that "is it in you" phrase. Listen, you got to apply that to you. God's word. Is it in you? If it's not, you got to fix that. Somebody said we're basically biological computers. And the old thing that we were taught as kids in school, when computers were still fairly new and gigantic, and there were things called floppy disks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, praise God. Thank him. But listen, we were taught garbage in, garbage out. A computer is only as good as its programmer or programming. Most of my life, I put garbage in, and believe me, and there are people all over the place that can, you know, testify, amen, brother, he's telling the truth. Garbage came out. It flowed pretty good. But praise God, I met the designer of this biological computer we call flesh, we call us. And he told me, you got a virus way back there. Let's purge the system. Let me clean the hard drive. Let me put in the right information. Here's the manual. Go and fill yourself with right information. And I did. And I am. I don't stop. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor since, not that long, but, 6 years now. I've been a Christian since 1987. And every day I put new information in. And every day I become better than I was the day before. But listen, the reason isn't so that I can go out and buy a Mercedes or live in a 10,000 square foot house. I don't do either, by the way. I don't drive and I don't have a 10,000 square foot house. That's crazy. It's a warehouse. I wouldn't know what to do with it. But that's not the purpose. Anyway, if you're blessed and that's how you live, God bless you. And I'm thankful for you. And I rejoice for you and with you over your blessing. But the purpose is always the kingdom of the living God, the kingdom of Jesus. And listen, if I ever end a podcast without offering the plan of salvation, then there's, I don't know. My opinion is that there's something wrong with me that day. Because the only reason to take up time that the Father has put breath in my body and given me authority and life for another day, the only reason is for the kingdom. The day I stop living for the kingdom, I'm useless. My time is up. I'm not going to waste space. So the purpose of you understanding who you are and becoming persuaded that he is able to do wonderful, exceedingly great things in you and through you is for the kingdom. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, then I invite you now to receive him into your life. You've got to change the programming if you want to change the program. I hated the program I was living. And after I changed the programmer and got that new programming in, man, I'm not saying life is always easy, but it's always good. Pray with me now. You don't have to dress. You don't have to wash. You don't have to do anything. Come as you are. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've been operating with a virus called sin, and it's destroying me. I need you to fix me. I receive what you did for me on Calvary's cross. You were crucified for my sin, but praise the name, Baruch Hashem, praise the name of God that you paid the price, were raised from the dead, and are praying for me right now at the right hand of the Father. I receive you as my King and as my Savior. Cleanse me, wash me in your blood. Help me to read your word. Help me to understand your word. Surround me with people who love you and who can mentor me right now. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want to know. It'll be an encouragement to me, and I want to be an encouragement back to you even more. I want to bless you. Write me, jeff@jeffgrillo.com. That's jeff@jeffgrillo.com. I love you. God bless you. I hope this was a blessing to you.
Throttle Up is a presentation of Jeff Grillo Ministries. To contact us, write Jeff Grillo Ministries, P.O. Box 9405, Hickory, North Carolina 28603. Or email us info@jeffgrillo.com.
I am a dead man walking to prison. I'm on the ground in place 4 feet to live. I'm sick of my life's a disaster.
before.